Because min haTorah we rely on the din of Reish Lakish. Kedamra Reish Lakish, Dam Reish Lakish. Again, the Gemara says Bedinu Dibekim Shtar Snami Lo Libai Kedam Reish Lakish. Dam Reish Lakish Einu Lachsum Lashtar Nasek Mishnech Kredusan BeBezdin. So that's what the Gemara establishes, and Rashi explains that. This is based on the principle the lochotif inish lizyufe. So what we did again, we spent a couple of weeks discussing this din of kim shtaros doraisa and the parameters of Reish Lakish, and especially the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that in all circumstances kim shtaros is only drabanan. And we know that according to the Rambam, at least when it comes to Gerushin, that isn't true. The Rambam says that there is a situation where the Baal is Ma'arer, that if the Isha is not able to defend the integrity of the get, then she can't rely upon it. And if she goes ahead and does rely on it, and she remarries and has a child, that child would be a mamzer. So that's one. And then you have the whole debate between Rabbi Avigdor and the Or Zeruah, in general, whether Irur HaBaal or the Edim whose names are, registered in that signature, if they come to court and they claim that, this is all a fabrication and a hoax, it's not their signature. So according to Rabbi Avigdor, in both of those circumstances, Kiyum Shtaros would be Doraisa. In other words, he would have to prove the authenticity of the Shtar, otherwise, or the Get, or the Shtar Kiddushin, as the case may be, otherwise it would be Batel. And the Or Zeruah disagrees, even in that case. And then what we saw last week was that in the Shulchan Aruch, there are numerous dinim reflecting some Gemaras, but also some Rishonim, and then some, later Makoros as well, all of which accentuate the din of Kiyum Shtaros being Drabanan, we're Mekel, let's say, on other aspects of the, standards of these Edim, including whether you can rely on a Yachid Mumcha, and even Bizman Azeh, we don't consider that to be a Yachid Mumcha, and other examples as well. And that gets nifsak in Shulchan Aruch. And then the Sma, in commenting on all that, says, yeah, but we paskin like Rabbi Avigdor, who says that if there's an Irur HaBaal, then under those conditions you would have to, Kiyum Shtaros would be Doraisa. What it doesn't say explicitly is, therefore all the kulas, in terms of how you are Mekayim Mishtar, would change, but that, I guess, is implicit. And the Shach, in a very long and characteristic piece, strongly disagrees and says that we paskin like the other view, which is the view of the Or Zeruah. Part of his argument is that, lo matzinu, that people are, either in the Gemara or the Rishonim or the Poskim, that people are saying that the other kulas of Kiyum Shtaros Drabanan depend on the circumstances. And therefore, he says, it's a across the board. We mean what we say when we say Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan. And we paskin like that other view, which happens to be, he didn't know who it was, but he knew it was a Rishon, the Or Zeruah. He himself, only thing is, holds out on one point and says, however, with respect to Irur HaBaal, I paskin like, Kiyum Shtaros is always Drabanan. With respect to the Irur HaEdim Atzmam, who come to court and they say, Lo Dubim V'lo Yar is not our signature, if that were to happen, the Shach says, that's a much more rare case, and therefore the fact that the Gemara, that the Rishonim, that the Poskim, that they don't, specifically make allowance for that, that silence, he doesn't think, is necessarily a Raya. And obviously, also, that he's just more taken, with the power of the Edim to disassociate. He thinks that's just a much greater indictment, much bigger, problem, to overcome. So both in terms of evidence as well as logic, it's very fascinating. If you look at than the Sivos. In his commentary in Simon Mem Vav, so he quotes the discussion of the Tumim, which is like, you know, why, you know, the Tumim goes, you know, not maybe or tentatively, the Tumim says, like, it's Shnayim Edim, you know, who are coming to court and saying this isn't our, you know, signature. You know, why isn't that obvious that you believe, you know, the Shnayim? Like, what's even the other, you know, possibility? And then he discusses, what he thinks is really going on. He has the Tumim says what he says, and the Nesiva says what he says. But as I say, the Shach, you know, says, listen, the Orzarua, although he doesn't mention it by name, rejects even that case. So, of course, in a way, this, you know, touches on the big, big question, two big questions. Number one, is Reish Lakish really Eidos in its own right? Because we do call it Eidim Maksum al Ashtar, Naskim Yishnachar Tuzim Bebezdin. And all along, we've been trying to explain that, you know, Reb Chaim, certainly this is his big contribution to the world of Sharos, is that this is really Eidos, a different form of Eidos, but Eidos, you know, nonetheless. We really treat it as Eidos, engendered by the Das Mischayim, interpreted by the Baal Ashtar's Tfisa, but that's what it is, it's Eidos. So partly when the Tumim asks this question, he says, like, you have two witnesses coming to court now, you know, who are telling you that, you know, it's not their signature. So that Shnayim Edim, where you think, let's even compare that to Lo Chotzif, you know, Inish Lezufe. So nothing beats Shnayim Edim. But the answer, again, he doesn't give this answer, and Sivas doesn't give this answer, and they give other answers. Or they say, yeah, in Ochanami, it's not the case that you think it is. But, I mean, I'm guessing that if Reb Chaim was answering this question, he would tell you that, it's trey, or not, or less. It's kim shigit shuv elechoz ermagit, because this is real edus. It's not just, you know, umdel. The umdena, again, Reb Chaim, as far as I know, I've mentioned this in the past, never explicitly discusses the role of umdena in all of this. But it's obvious to me that if there were no umdana, there would be no edus. Meaning, you know, since all of this is based on what I'm kind of trying to explain as a kind of blank check of edus that is, you know, interpreted by the Baal Hashtar, so it has to be plausible. And, part of it's plausible, yichus, if you want to call it that, or credentials, is the fact that it's based on umdana. So what Rashi says here, which is that lo chotzif inish luziyufe, is not incompatible with what Reb Chaim says at all. But as we'll see today, we'll explore this further. It becomes like a very interesting kind of situation, at least in my reading of all of this, which is you have edus, but it's propped up or made possible by an umdana. So when you're attacking it, meaning if there's opposition to it, how do you look at that opposition? Do you look at it in terms of the effect, which is edus, very formidable, very hard to override? Or do you look at it in terms of, foundation of this edus, which is umdana, which, maybe certain factors can neutralize? So this is an interesting question. That goes into this mix. But anyway, it's just interesting that the Tumim and the Nesivos, not only are they like open to... It's interesting. The Ksos, when he quotes the Shach, I think I mentioned this last week, he quotes him as if the Shach was Chozer on this point, meaning the Shach is very, very tough. He's very strong. I characterized his view last week as taking no prisoners in general, but this is a great example of it. He brings rayas, are only rayas if, like the Shach, you're totally convinced, that this is the logical and the authentic position. But either way, at the end of the day, with all of that, with his very strong defense of Kim Shtaros only being Durabanan, because Daraisa, they're always being Reish Lakish, with that he's, you know, clearly, intellectually, and even emotionally, like, open to the distinction between Ir Rabau and the Ir Ha'edin. The Xos, when he comments on certain parts of the Shach's presentation, Agav, he doesn't discuss it much, and he doesn't argue, but Agav mentions, you know, this consideration of the Shach, but presents it as if the Shach, like, you know, thought about it and rejected it, which actually is not true, because if you look at the summary of the Shach, which we did read last time, in the very end of the long piece, he goes back to telling you that if the two Edom themselves are Ma'arer, you know, then he's very open, you know, to Kiyum Shtaros being Doraisa in that case. It's just interesting how the Xos, you know, didn't, you know, catch that for some reason at all. And then you have the opposite, which is the Tumim and the Nesivas quoting the Tumim, but, you know, going along with it, saying, like, that part's got to be true Likula Alma, because you have Shnayim Edim against an Umdana. But as I say, I don't know what Reb Chaim would have said about it. He might have said, you know, yes, you know, it's Reish Lakish is Eidos. Put it this way. He might have said, Reish Lakish is Eidos. And therefore, you know, it's kind of like Kivin Shigichuv and Nechozer Magid. Even though it's a kind of ironic one, because the whole point is that the Edom don't admit that it's their Eidos or their, you know, Kivin Shehigid. But he also might have agreed with the Shach. I just don't know. And he might have said, listen, it's Eidos when it's substantiated by the Chazaka. But when you have two Edom, you know, attacking it, that weakens the whole foundation. So maybe it doesn't even reach the point of being Eidos. So this is like a very fascinating, very legally subtle question and issue. So that's one issue. That's one interesting question. We're going to get to other manifestations of that today. The other question, these are overlapping, is, you know, the one we've been discussing all along, and that is like the, you know, kind of the paradox. And that is this idea that, fine, it's Eidos, you know, if it's, you know, in any, you know, respect authentic, you know, then it can be Eidos. But again, if you tack it at its core and you claim that, you know, the whole thing is a fraud and a hoax, you know, so does that, you know, get off the ground as Eidos Machasumim, you know, al hashtar? I mean, it's just a scrawl on a piece of paper. So that's why, you know, again, even if you hold like Reb Chaim in the nature of this, and I think the roots in Rishonim, even in what we're discussing, you know, are clear, there's always this other question, and that is, you know, whether or not we're dealing with Reish Lakish. You know, when you're dealing with Reish Lakish, then you're dealing with Eidos. But the idea that Reish Lakish himself requires a certain level of either plausibility, which is determined by, you know, the opposition, or it's not even maybe you just need like a little bit of a foundation. You need something, you know, that is like objectively there, at least the signatures are authentic or there's no claim that they're not, in order to then trigger Reish Lakish, that becomes a serious matter. Either way, this is the background, and last week we spent some time trying to explain what Ol Rabbah Avigdor and Rambam do with the Gemara Daf Vav Amud Beis, which does seem to say that when you have Befanenachta Befanenachtam, it also solves the problem of Ir Rabbah. And according to Rabbi Avigdor and the Rambam, especially in the case of Gittin, that really shouldn't be true. Which is why one of the reasons that the Shach thinks that it's wrong. So we discussed various approaches. We'll get back to some of them. One of the last ones, I'm not sure if we discussed it or not, we discussed several approaches I mentioned three things from the Pnei Yoshua. One is that he suggests that Medak Dayik can combine, you know, to be, you know, to kind of catapult the Befanenachta Befanenachtam into something that works even in a situation of Doraisa. Okay, something like a Mishnah kind of rejected, but that I think the Pnei Yehoshua rehabilitates. Secondly, and we'll come back to this when we finish this topic and move on to the next, the idea that maybe when we speak about Kiyum Shtaros being Durabanan, we don't mean that it's Durabanan, you know, just on the basis of Reish Lakish with nothing. What we mean is if there's at least an Eid Echad supporting it, then it's Durabanan. And the reason for that being that maybe this comes under the rubric of Eid Echad Nemun B'Yisurin rather than, you know, Davar Shebe'erva or something which requires Eidus, etc. That's Mechudash, we'll get back to that. But then he has a third possibility in which he says that maybe the Gemara in Davav Medbeis, it speaks about Irur Rabal, but it doesn't say that the Irur is Mezuyaf, meaning Dav Gimel Amid Aleph is assuming the problem of Ziyuf. That's, you know, Eina Machsum Al Ashtar, Nasi Kamish Nechor Edusim Bebezdin. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, the problem is a problem of Mezuyaf. At least that's how all the Rishonim understand it. So if the Rambam and Rav Avigdor are claiming that, you know, that Mezuyaf is, you know, is subject to Irur Habal, meaning in that case it's going to be Kiyum Shtaros Doraisa, then how can the Eid Echad work? That's the problem. However, what the Pnei Yehoshua suggests, see if I can find the line here, is that maybe the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis isn't talking about Irur of Mezuyaf. Maybe it's talking about, you know, a different, you know, Irur. Let's say the Irur of, you know, Anusim, or Psulim, or Ketanim, or Amana, or Moda'a, or Tanai, one of those kind of other claims, other challenges that render the shtar puzzle. Maybe that's where the Gemara says that if you have b'fanai nachtam, you know that it'll work. So how does that help you? So the assumption seems to be, and he doesn't, you know, let me see if I can find it. He doesn't explain why, at least not here, maybe he explains it elsewhere. I don't claim to, you know, be a line-by-line, you know, even though he's, you know, an ancestor according to the family lore, but, you know, so maybe that's, you know, delinquent of me a little bit. But let me see if I can find it. I think the others we did read, right? Yeah, if you look before the last paragraph, he says, "El de'ikar achshasha sheyiton abal kaina acheres livsol." You have that?
Line 7.
What time? Which line is it?
Line 7.
On page 6.
6. Yeah.
He says, "El de'ikar achshasha sheyiton abal kaina acheres livsol, v'hineman b'migu de mezuya." That's also a little bit strange. The Aha Maisi Shapir member of the Reish Lakish, the Linian Taina Acheres, have a commotion Echkar Edusan. Oh. Ukiyotu Bazek, Kosavti Lakamon. The Mahadar Bidin Hassan, the Ovdi Sahani, that's the Gemara, the Yasa Bala Ma'ara Lomash Gechinan Bey. Right, nami leka lachuche midi to efshel lefarish nami hasam leinan irur acher shelo betainas mezuyaf. So what he's trying to suggest is that when it comes to kiyum shtaros derabanan, in all circumstances, that's only been mezuyaf. But when it comes to other tainos, right there, No, I'm saying the other way. Sorry. When it comes to Kiyum Shtaros, when it comes to the Gemara in Daf Vav Amud Beis, which says that that an Eid Echad will be Neman, and therefore Kiyum Shtaros is basically always Drabanan, right? That is referring to some other Taina. That's referring to another Taina. What the Gemara what the Rambam and Rabbi Vigdar are allowing for in Irur Habal, right? That is B'mezuyaf. Okay. So what's the difference between the Taina of Mezuyaf, right, which the Baal would be successful even Minatorah, and the Taina, let's say, of Psulim, Anusim, some other Taina, right, which really has the protection of Reish Lakish, even though it undermined. So the answer is, this goes back to what we were discussing the other time, and that is that Tainas Mezuyaf may be better and may be worse. And that's the point. Meaning, on the one hand, Tainas Mezuyaf is the most vulnerable claim because it's the greatest paradox. If we can't even ascertain for sure, you know, that this is not a forgery, there's no Reish Lakish if the charge is forgery. Reish Lakish can't protect paradoxically against itself if the claim is that the whole thing is a hoax. But the second that there are real chasimos, at least it's not a forgery, that's when Reish Lakish kicks in. Now the truth is, so then the idea would be that whenever you have, Reish Lakish, you know, then Kiyum Shtaros is always Drabana. But where, you know, you're challenging, you know, whether Reish Lakish is even applicable, right, in that circumstance, you know, that's already a different story. That's where Irur Habal could create a requirement of Kiyum Shtaros Dorais. Okay? Now, again, you could have said the opposite, you know, that the most basic or core need for self-protection is from the Taina of Mezuyaf. Either way, you also could have drawn the line, as I say, in different places. Okay, so having said that, I want to now turn a little bit to the Gemara in a couple of the Gemaras in Ksuvis. So what's interesting about the Gemaras in Ksuvis is that they speak about these other cases. Namely, not Mezuyaf, right, but, you know, Anusim, Psulim, Ketanim, Amana, Moda'a, etc. And frankly, even between those. So I just want to go through the Gemara quickly, and then we'll talk about a little more about it, Eid Echad v'Isurim. So if you look here on page 1, just to go back for a minute, so the Mishnah says, Ha'edim Sha'amru, Ksav Yadenu Huzeh, the Edom come to court, and they agree it's not a forgery. Okay. So they are, in some respect, seemingly, right, substantiating, authenticating the shtar. Then they add, however, Aval Anusim Ayinu, right, Ketanim Ayinu, Psuleidos Ayinu. So they giveth and they taketh away. Right? Because if you believe the whole story, then this shtar is worthless. That's not to say it's a forgery, right? It's not much better, by the way, than, you know, if you say the Edom are Psulim, so it's not much better. But it isn't a forgery. It's not a hoax. It's it's an invalid shtar, if we're going to make the distinction. That's also dubious whether, and maybe, frankly, there's a difference between saying Psuleidos, Ketanim, or Anusim, right? Going back to a different question, and that is, they're not Edom at all, and therefore there's no Edom on the shtar, or they're Edom Psulim, and is there a value, you know, to Edom Psulim? Okay. Edom who are psulim. And we know that, you know, in certain halachos there's a difference between Edom psulim and the absence of Edom. Right? Talked about this in other cases. Balei Dvarim as opposed to Edom psulim, things like Edom Shabbat Mutasa Bat Lakula. Usually it goes the other way. I mean, it's worse to be an aid puzzle than it is to be a non-aid in terms of impact. But it's only worse because it's better. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's... if there's a status called eight puzzle, it's you know, it's like somebody who could have been but isn't, as opposed to somebody where you just don't have eight of us here. So its effect typically is that it's garua, but it's garua because it's something. And that could be important here in the sense that, well, it's not a forgery, right? It's not even a shtar bli edim. It's a shtar bli edim psulim. Okay. If that is a status here, that's questionable. If it's not, then you can say, well, everything is the same. Anything that invalidates a shtar is the same. Now, of course, once you talk about things like, you know, moda'a or t'nai, you know, that already, you know, or parua, of course, that already is a different matter entirely. You're dealing with chepsa shel shtar, and you're talking about the circumstances, you know, of its validity. That's what does the shtar tell you? You know, what is its impact? So you have cases where, again, you could say, well, but the Nekudas, you know, Hadin Torah, you know, is on the issue where we claim that the Moda or the Tanaya, Moda, of course, is in between. Tanaya Yudvarinu is totally extraneous. Tanaya Mil Sakriti. Moda is, you know, where you have a separate source to kind of, you know, to make the claim that, you know, that Anusimayinu. But, you know, it's not in the shtar itself. So it's very interesting, very tricky. Anyways, let's go back to it. So the Mishnah says, Arelu Nemanim. What's the Nemanus based on? Peshas or Peshahiter. This is the sugya of Peshas or Peshahiter. Vim Yesh Edim Shuksav, which is why Vim Yesh Edim Shuksav Yadam. Let's say we can substantiate or authenticate this contract, you know, without the Pesha Asar of the Edom themselves, right? We have a sample of their handwriting. So we don't need them to substantiate, but they are claiming, you know, that, you know, this. They're basically saying the shtar is invalid, right? But we don't need them to validate it, right? So the Mishnah says, Einan Nabanim. Okay, so that's also very interesting. Not so obvious. The Gemara then goes on, you know, to discuss, this is the Gemara that we already read, that this is based on Kim Chigit Shuvin Achoz. The second part of the Mishnah is based on Kim Chigit. Umbra Achabal Hashanu Lashambra Anusin Makmas Mamon Avanusin Maniyoch Makmas Nefashos Harelu Nabanim. So according to Rami Bar Chama, wow, right? If it's a legitimate anus, then we would believe them. Abale Rabba, I'm sorry, Rava, Kol Kemine, Kivin Shigit Shuvin Achozer Magid. So that's considered Kivin Shigit Shuvin Achozer Magid, not just if they change the story, but they change, you know, their kashrus. Or the story that's now whether they're kosher when they signed, it was implicit that they were ksherin, right? And they admit that they signed. Now they're, you know, claiming the chitei mahani mili alpeh al v'shtar lo. That's omer shlokish and maksum v'shtar nasa k'mishtar chreidusim bebezdim. Ela ki itmar aresha itmar. This is the other place where you have it in Shas. What's reish? The reisha. The Mishnah says that in the case of pesha aser pesha hitir, it's harel elu nemanim. Meaning, if they say "Ksav Yadenu Huzev Al Anusim," "Ainu Harelu Nemanim," and there Rami Bar Chama says "Al Shana Al Shamra Anusim Nimachmas Nefashos," but if they say "Anusim Ainu Machmas Mamon," "Ain Nemanim," even though what happened to Peshas and Pesha Yeter, the answer is there's another problem factor here now. My Taima, "Ain Adamesim Atzmo Russia." So, if they were to say, you know, that we were Rishayim when we saw, not that we were, you know, Dine Nefashos threatened, but Dine Mamon is threatened. Therefore, we shouldn't have done this. So they are incriminating themselves. Their self-incrimination, right, negates their statement, Eino Lamei Samatzma Rasha, Eino Lamei Al Atzma, whatever. And therefore, you're left with simply, you know, a kind of palginan dibure, which is Ksav Yadeinu, who's that? Okay. Then the Gemara, okay, that's all very interesting, but not for us right now. But then comes the part that's very relevant to us, and that is Tana Rabbana. So it turns out that the whole, you know, Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, the whole Resha is open to question for a different reason. Tana Rabbana. Ein Nemanim Leposla. Even if they claim that they were, you know, psulim, based on Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, Div Rabbi Meir. Meir claims that we don't believe them. I would have the Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. Chachomim Omrim Nemanim. So the Gemara says, Bishlom al Rabbanan, Kitamayu. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. We understand the Chachomim. Elul Rabbi Meir, who says that they cannot distance themselves from saying, from validating the Shtar, what's that based on? El Rameir my time, huh? So here, again, just think about it for a moment. This is because this is what we're interested in, really. You have this, you have them saying Ksav Yadeinu Huzeh, right? But basically saying that the Shtar is invalid. And the question is, and you have a Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, which is a positive reason to believe them. Now, Rameir does not deny Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, Migu Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, in Kol HaTorah Kula, right? I mean, why would he? It's a very compelling... You could say it has limitations, obviously. Maybe that's part of the story here, maybe not. But he doesn't deny that in general, a Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, which we find in other sugyas as well, especially here in Ksuvos, Basra, right, is a factor. So like Rameir, my time, what's the problem? So the Gemara says, Bishlom of Psule Eidus, to say, Ksav Adenu Hose Aval Psule Eidus, Malva Gufa Mikara Medek Dayeku Mechtam. Achazoka. Meaning, the Malva is going to be careful because it's in his best interest that this Pshtar be valid. He's not going to let, he's not going to let, you know, just anybody sign and be witness, because this is a document that's going to secure his loan. So he's going to be careful to make sure only, you know, Ksherim sign. Okay. Ktanim Nami Kiresh Lakish. So when you see the word Nami Kiresh Lakish, you know, you get very excited. Like, you know, maybe another sighting of, you know, the famous, infamous, you know, Edom Achsum Ashtar Nasik Meshin Echor Sub Abezin, it's Reish Lakish. But it isn't, or is it? Right? It's Nami Kid Reish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish. Ooh, and it's on the next page too, so you have to, wait a second. Right? Chazaka Ein Ha'edim Chosmim Al Ashtar Elim Kain Nase Begadol. Right? That's also a chazaka. So these are not really chazakas, these are roves, I should mention. Well, they call it chazaka, but you know, there are two types of chazakas, really. One is a muchzakus, meaning a status quo ante, meaning you know, there's a previous, you know, state, and the question is whether it changed. That's really, if we're talking about chazaka as opposed to a rove, that's what a chazaka really is. But as we know, the Gemara often uses the term chazaka, you know, to reflect aruba delesa kaman, meaning chazaka. This is like people. This is what people's, you know, typical conduct or behavior or practice is. So the Gemara has a chazaka based on the malva's protectionism. You know, medak dayik don't be psulim, and ktanim eino edim chos mimal ashtar elim kenasa begadol. Right? Ela nusim maitaima. The Gemara says, Rav Chizuk Savar Rabeir edim sheamru lahem chismu sheker v'al tehargu. This is a famous Gemara. We'll just run through it for a minute. I'm not going to go into the implication of this. If they say, put a gun to your head and they say, sign yehargu v'al yachtimu sheker. Wow. Amalei Rava. So Rava said, Hashta ilu osa lekami limluch. If they asked us, Amrilu ziluk suma velotit kautun. Damamar, ein lecha davar shomei b'fnei pikoach nefesh. El avar is argili arayis and shikhazdam bilva. Hashta chasmo amrilu amai chasmisu. If they'd come to us and said, like, you know, what should we do? We'd say, sign. You know? So now you want to tell me they you know, because they didn't ask, you know, that, you know, that you know, we question them. They're psulim. We don't believe them. El Talmud Rav Meir, Kidrav Huna Amar Rav. Amar Rav Amar Rav. Moda Bishtar Shekasmo, Ein Tzorech Lekaimo. Is that a explanation or is that a description? So what is Rameir's, what is the basis of Rameir? It's just a fascinating Shakavataria. So with regard to, again, Psulim, we have a Chazaka, a Rubid Leisa come up. With regard to Ketanim, Reish Lakish is the author of that particular Chazaka / Rubid Leisa come on. And then with regard to Anusim, right, we're just falling back on Moda Bishtar Shekosfu, meaning they said Ksav Yodeinu Huzeh, Ein Tzarech Lekaimo. There's no further need to be Mekai. What does that mean? That's just another way. Again, that's not really an explanation. It's really just another way of say on the surface of stating the fact, which is Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir does not neutralize the Kashrus of a shtar, when once you're moda b'shtar, there's no longer peshas or peshiyitir. How come? Why not? Right? It's more of a description. Then the Gemara says gufa. I'm Rav Huna Amar Rav. Moda b'shtar shekasu ein tzarich lekaimo. And another Gemara. I'm like gnuve l'amalach. Okay, we'll leave the rest, you know, for now. Okay, for that chocolate attack. So this is, of course, a very fascinating, you know, Gemara on two levels. It's important to analyze Rabbi Meir. Of course, Rabbi Meir is a challenging one, right? I mean, he's the one who, you know, seems to be defying the, you know, the expectation that Peshas and Pesha Hitir, you know, would work here. So it sounds like he either has, you know, a stronger perspective or assessment of the forces against, in the sense of, you know, the Chazakas, the Ruben Delesa come on to whatever they are, okay? Or that he thinks it doesn't really matter, you know, what's against, because at the end of the day, you know, it's the moda. Once you have the moda, you know, what you have is so formidable, you know, that, you know, you don't need anything else. I mean, the Peshas and Pesha Hitir just doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? In other words, to take a step back. So the Rabbanan basically say you have Peshas and Pesha Hitir basically against the Kashrus of the Shtar. We'll call that, you know, for our purposes for the moment, you know, the equivalent of Reish Lakish. Okay? So, So it could be a machlokas about the strength of Peshas and Pesha Hitir. It could be a machlokas about, you know, what it is that is neutralizing Peshas and Pesha Hitir in this particular case, right? The, you know, Ein, you know, Chosmim Ktanim, the Malve, some equivalent thing with regard to Anusim. What I'm suggesting is it also could very well be that the unified, and remember, these are as umdanas, right, as roves, Ruben Delisa Kamans, they're different. Not so different, but they're different. Meaning the Malva being Medayik, you know, because it's in his best interest, you know, that, okay, Ein, you know, Chosmim Ktanim. That sounds like it's in the Ketanim themselves wouldn't have the chutzpah, you know, to do it. We'll get back to what else it might mean in just a second. Whatever the issue is in Anusim. So it's very tempting to think, that doesn't mean that it's true, You have to look at the various mafarshim, and there's a lot of nuances. But it's very tempting to think that the unified theory of Rabbi Meir is not this umdana, that umdana, the third umdana, you know, but either the weakness of Peshas and Peshahitir. It's also a problem, maybe. But more likely is the, you know, the fortress, you know, that is a shtar. Meaning, the Bezdin is just such a formidable, you know, factor that even Peshas or Peshahitir, you know, doesn't override it. What about the other, and maybe once, you know, you, again, the Gemara originally maybe, way to read the Gemara, not the only way, but a way, an attractive way to read the Gemara. The Gemara originally was thinking, you know, you have Peshas and Peshahitir, you know, and now let's see what we have, you know, on the other side. So you have a Ruba Delesa come on. Then you have another Ruba Delesa come on. And then the Gemara thought it had something with Anusim, but it couldn't really, you know, formulate it so well. So the Gemara is basically saying, you know, Modu B'Shtar Shekosu Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, as I said, is not. It's not an explanation, it's a description, right? So maybe what the Gemara did was, this is the Gemara's turning point, is the Gemara saying, it's a din in shtar. Modu b'shtar shekosu ein tzarech l'kaima. Because it's pesha asar pesha hitir against edus, essentially, right? So this is within Rabbi Meir, where it's certainly very attractive to say a Reb Chaim type idea. Now again, they're not mutually exclusive. If it wasn't for the fact, you know, that you know, there were also, you know, umdana'os, maybe Peshas and Peshahitir, you know, would undercut, you know, the umdana part, you know, of what makes this Reish Lakish. Maybe that's why you need something on the other side. Okay, that's one point. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, you know, how do we understand their Shita? So they're basically saying, Peshas and Peshahitir overrides Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish itself is only an Umdana. Or again, even they agree that Reish Lakish is, you know, Eidos. But once again, it's only Eidos, you know, when it's plausible, you know, and the second that you undercut the credibility, you know, of the plausibility of this Eidos, it's not Eidos anymore. Okay, so this becomes a very, I would say, interesting sugya, like to examine this question. So, I don't have so much time, but let's try to go through this part today for sure. So, if you look at, I have a bunch of Tosas in here, it's so much more in the other Rishonim, but in other sugyas. This is, the main sugya here is Ksumas, for this topic, but also Bav Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Dalid, very important, and Bav Metzia, the first parak of Bav Metzia. There are a couple of sugyas about this, Modu B'Shtar Shekosvu, Tzorech L'Kaimo. So there are a bunch of sugyas, really. But let's just, you know, focus on these Tosas for a minute. So Tosas Ksuvas Yud Chesam Beis, Hare Eilu Nemanim. Okay. So this Hare Eilu Nemanim goes on the Mishnah. Again, what does the Mishnah say? So on the Chachamim, who say Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, right? Well, I'm going to use this language, although, you know, it might be presumptuous a little bit, but Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir overrides the shtar, or overrides the Reish Lakish, I mean, the self-protective mechanism of the shtar, okay? As on that Dibra Maskil, Tosus asks the following question. Im Tomar, Lama Nemanim. Right? Hambigu b'makom Eidim hu. That's a strong question. Where's the Eidos on the other side? Remember, we were just struggling, the Gemara is struggling to explain Rabbi Meir. Right? The Chacham, the Gemara says, Bishlomo Rabbi Meir, the Peshas and Peshahitir. So Tosa is saying, what Bishlomo Rabbana? Peshas and Peshahitir, but what's it against? It's against Edim Hamigo b'makom edim hu. Is it? What's the where's the edim? Da'anan sadi shelo hayonusim v'lo psula edos. Where's that? Da'ala kamon amrinan treyu treyninu. So what is that? Right? If that's saying so far that the koach of the ruba delesa kamon or the koach of, you know, of malve or of ktanim or, well, we don't know what anusim, but that's part of them, right? So basically Tosis is abandoning the Gemara. I mean, I don't want to make it too stark, but, you know, basically the Gemara says the Rabbanan understandable Rameir is the problem. Tosis is flipping it. Well, you know, what are the Rabbanan thinking? You know, it's tray and tray. What do you mean tray? Where's the tray? So, of course, the Rav Chaim answer is, the tray is Reish Lakish. It's Eidah Machsum Ma'ashar Nasa Kamishan Ekros Idusa Bebezdim. I mean, Rabbi Meir is the compelling one because of, now, where does it come from? So they quote the Gemara in Ksuvis. Ooh, do we have a Gemara? On Yud, I think I didn't bring that. I should have. I think I have it on my phone. Just 1 second. Let me see. I think I have it here. That's the Gemara in Ksuvis. No, not that. Oh. Yeah. What? Oh, you have it. Great. Okay, great. Oh, I have it here also. But okay, great. So let's see. So the Gemara here in Ksuvis has a little brisa. This is on Yud Tes on the base. Seems like they have more Ksuvises than Gittins here. Okay. So this is what goes. This is actually a very interesting Gemara. I should have put it on the sheets. It was my mistake. Tan Rabbanan. Shnayim chasumim al ashtar. Okay. Umesu. Okay. So you have two witnesses on the shtar, and they're no longer alive. Ubo shnayim in ashuk v'amru, and then two other edim come to court, and they say that yadanu sheksav yadam hu, it is really the signatures of these two late lamented, you know, people. Aval anusim ayu ktanim ayu psule edus ayu. Now they don't say it about themselves, right? The edim, who are, you know, other edim, in other words, are coming to court and they are testifying that the original edim ksav yadam haya, right? Aval anusim, but they're psulim. So the Tan Rabbanan, this is the brisa. The brisa says hare elu ne'amanim. We believe the second ones. Oh. However, in Yesh Edim Sheksav Yadam Huze, O Shayek Sav Yadam Yotzim Mimakom Acher, right? Mishtar Shekarel of Iror, let's say there was some other, you know, previous need to authenticate these signatures, and we have done that, and therefore we know, you know, independent of these two, we don't need them, you know, to authenticate. Right? So we have authentication without them. So basically you have Edim Shebishtar, whose signatures have been established. It's not Mezuyah. Right? But the claim of two other Edim now is that they are Psulim Leidus. Okay, v'huchzak bebezdin ein elu ne'amanim. Now this is a little shocking, but you have two edim coming to court, right, negating the kashrus of the first kat, even though they don't need any kind of authentication. And what we're saying, the Gemara is saying that we're ein elu ne'amanim. We just ignore them. Wow. So a Gemara then, you know, backs away from that just a little bit. The Gemara says, "Man binam be kishtara ma'alya," meaning we're going to the first edim, you know, are signed on Sunday. We're going to collect on that contract, even though there are two other edim who are saying that that these are psulim. But listen to the way the Gemara says it. V'amai trei utrei ninu. It's trei utrei. You have two edim, you know, who sign. Right? They're no longer alive. We can't interview them. And you have trei edim who come and say that the whole shtar is invalid because they're psulim. So the Gemara says, you can't just ignore the second kav. That's certainly true. But what struck Tosas, the one that we're in the middle of, on Yud Chesed, the daf earlier, Tosas with their eagle eye, right, noticed that the Gemara didn't say, you know, it's trei against the chazaka, or it's, you know, or how can you just ignore these edim? The Gemara says it's trei trei, meaning the first kat, who we're not sure if they're psulim or you know, they're being accused of being a psulim. Now it is ksav yonim is yotzei mimakamak. That's fine, but that doesn't answer the question whether they're kshayrim or not. It only answers the question of mezuyev, right? So that they're being called trei, and then the Gemara answers omrav sheshes osamrav chashit chilas hazama. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole story. Yeah.
I was just about to ask, could we have a concept of edim zomim v'shtar? Meaning two edim coming and saying.
So far, you're totally on target. In two senses. Meaning the question you're asking is kind of partially asked by... Okay, on the actual question of Hazama in the Shtar, that's actually a big machlokas harishonim. Usually we say that there's typically no Hazama in the Shtar for technical reasons. Namely, the discrepancies, you know, in Drisha v'Chakira, etc., that would be necessary to establish Hazama, are themselves much more flexible, because you can have Shtar Mucha or Shtar Mukta, whatever. But, let's say, Luyitzur, you could actually pin it down. So there's a Balamor in the end of the second parak of Ksuvis that seems to say that the Chiddush of Hazama doesn't apply to Yishev Shtar. And, you know, the Ran and others who quote this say, like, why? I mean, if it's Eidos, then why wouldn't it be subject to Hazama? So some of them say maybe the distinction between the psul and the onesh, a whole discussion. So that's an interesting discussion. But why did you bring it up here? I'm reading your mind a little bit. I hope that's, not presumptuous. You brought it up here because you're thinking, you know, they're being made against, the second kata being made against the gavra Edim, in the same way, you know, like in Azama, they should just be believed. We always believe the second cop when they say something criminal about the first cop.
About the Edim themselves.
Oh, so Tosas asked that question in not about Azama, but about, listen to Tosas. This is why, again, I should have put it here, but I should have put the Gemara and the Tosas, and the Tosa Rosh, which I'm about to tell you here. So Tosa says like this: Upsule edus de katani, who's in Ksuvis, lo sheomrim shadayim psulim he. Dim kein amai e namanim. So this is Tosa's way of saying, what's going on here? You have two edim coming to court saying that two other edim are possibly edus. Right? That's not trei. That's a din Torah. Or that Eidos ala Gavra, similar to Azama in a way, right? Or the way people understand Azama, which is why I think you made the association. Okay. So Tosas has a fascinating answer, right? Which is, Tosas says, well, they're dead. So we don't really care about their kashrus in the present, right? And consequently, it's all about the Din Torah, not about the Gavra Edim, and about the Din Torah you have Trei Utrei. But that the way Tosa says, Shadayim Psulim Dim Kena Mai Ein Namanim Ela Psul Edus Habu Oz Viata Modim Shem Ksherim. Actually, they don't even say it that way. I should take it back. Tosa says, let's say they said, oh, they used to be Ktanim, or they used to be, or they weren't used to be Ktanim at some point. They used to be Psulim. They used to be Krovim. They did Tshuva. They're no longer Krovim. Whatever. Right? I don't mean they did tshuva, therefore they're no longer wrong. Three different cases, right? So, other Rishonim give the answer, they're no longer alive. Right? So the Kabbalah Seidus isn't about them, right? It's about the... That's a very interesting question, right? What's the fine line between, you know, what is Eidus Alagavra, which impacts, you know, their kashrus and therefore the chefs of shaledus that they gave on different cases, as opposed to, you know, directly. But these are interesting questions. Like, if anybody's familiar, the famous, you know, the Bali Tosis all over the place discusses it, Kedushin, etc. Kedushin, Ksubis, Basra, you know, Yanai Amelech and his mother, you know, like, you know, they were trying to be made, you know, that Yanai is possibly Eidus because his mother wasn't really, but she was, you know, Shavuya and so on. So that's like an interesting question. So the Bali Tosis, they're all saying, well, you know, Yanai's mother isn't alive, so the real Eidus is about, you know, his status. Therefore, her, there they, the Rishonim there, Bali Tosis there, are talking about, can her Cheskas Kashrus, you know, solve, you know, this problem? So it's a very interesting question. In other words, where there's more than one way to look at a certain issue, right, to categorize or classify a certain issue, you know, what dictates, and we'll get back to this when we talk about Nechanem and Bisurim, but it's a question, you know, that applies, you know, all over the place. So here's a great example. You have, there are two ways to look at the Eidos of the second Kat. It's personal Haggadah against the first Kat. They're charging them, they're saying, you signed, it's about their status. You are psul, they are psulim, they are ktanim, they are krovim, right? In addition to which, it's not just gossip because they signed on a shtar, right? So that's Eidus ala shtar, or that's Eidus ala gavra. So that's what Tosfos is troubled by. Some of the Rishonim say because they're not alive. Here they say because, oh, it's, they're not saying anything about them in the present. They're saying about, you know, what they used to be. The Tosa Rush, which I have on my phone here, I think I have it on my phone. Yeah, I do have it on my phone. Says the following. Tre ninu, upsule edus de kaambri lo dahaba psule edus aksha, dimke mai kaparich, tre ninu adaraba psule legamri. Listen to the language. Dilo adifi edus hachasumim alashtar mima shehoyu omdim lefanenu dehavamatil omri psulimheim. Meaning, he's thinking Reish Lakish, right? The edum hachasumim alashtar nasa kimishnech or edus of the bezdin, are they better than Dine Mominus? If they were here in Dine Mominus, we would believe the second kat. Why wouldn't we believe the second kat about the signators? Elohachi kamar, right? Eidus hayu kishachosma l'ashtar, like Tosis. Avalachshav heim kshim. That's Tosis. But the question already kind of, this is really about the relationship between Eidus b'shtar and Eidus al-peh. So then the Tosa Rush continues, and he says, v'li nira. This is one of the cases where Tosa Rosh is really very mechudash. Da filo amri psule edus heim gam achshav, right? Lo maminim lifsol. It's hard to read this because of the text. Lifs the poslam. Sharei min adin afa bishiksav yonu biotzi mimokom acher. This is just unbelievable, this line. Right? Hai de lo behemni, hai nutama de ein tzorach sa'adi, shekol shtar biksav, shekol shtar nechtav v'nechtam, below Shem Psul Nechtam. Hilka Chafil Aminan Psula Eidos Heim Gam akshav lo mehemni lifsal ashtar kivnik savyadim yotzei makom acher. Tosa Rush basically says, I mean, relative to his, you know, the foil, which is the original question, like what edei shtar are better than, you know, than edei salpeh. If edei salpeh were here, we'd listen to the achronim. And Tosa Rush is saying, yeah, they are. You know why? Because this whole thing, like, why is it even tray? Right? The whole thing you should be believing the Edim. So what if Ksav Yadim Yotzim Mimakom Acher? That just means it's not Mezuyev. They're not testifying that it's Mezuyev. What does Ksav Yadim Yotzim Mimakom Acher tell you if the charge is some other posel? That's what he's asking. What do you see from here? That the shtar protects itself. Whenever you have a shtar which is nichta v'nechtam, we assume that it's nichta v'nechtam b'kashrus. As long as you know that it's not a forgery, once you get past the hump of mezuyef, he's applying the real Reish Lakish. So he's saying, so if that's the case, if the shtar protects itself, in that respect, it's even more powerful, right, than Eidus Alpeh. The way I would say it, and this is how I explain the Balamor a little bit that you asked about too, is when it comes to Reish Lakish, we're not interested in the Gavra. This is maybe a different point than the Tosa Rush, or maybe not. I'm not sure. Either way, it overlaps with what I'm saying in Tosa Rush. I mean, Tosa Rush is certainly underscoring the uniqueness of Eidus Bishtar and how, ironically, in certain respects, it's even more powerful, you know, than Eidus Alpeh. What I want to just add to it is the Edim Begavra, they're not around. They don't see anything, as far as we know. If they did, it's a coincidence, as we discussed. You can create a shtar milva, a shtar mecher, a get, a shtar kiddushin. The Edim only have to be present in the beginning of the process. They don't have to be there. We're not talking about Edim Sir, we're talking about Edim Chasima. Right? And the whole din of Reish Lakish isn't about the Gavra Edim. It's about Cheftza Shal Edusha Bishtar. So for that reason, when the Edim come, it's true, if the Edim would come to court and there'd be living, breathing Edim, you know, that they wanted to invalidate, you know, even though the reason they wanted to invalidate them is because of the role that they play on some other contract and some other din Torah, we'd say that's not Trey or Trey. You know, we'd say that's Eidus al Hagavra. They're Nidonim. If I accuse you of something or I talk about your personal status, you can't say no, it isn't true. I mean, you could say it, but you're a Nidon. You're not equal and opposite Eidim. Right? So then you have to make other Chilukim. They're alive, they're not alive. It's what they used to be, not what they are. Fine. But basically, when the Edom come to court and they say, you know, Anusim hayu, Ktanim hayu, Psulim hayu, right? The Kabbalah said, even if they were alive, let's say they're not dead. Let's say they're alive. Who cares? Basically, it's they're attacking Reish Lakish. The Cheftza Shel Eidus Shebishtar. That's a whole different story. That overlaps with the Tosa Rush. Anyway, why don't we get into this? We won't have to stop in a minute. Actually, we'll need next week to finish this up. But why don't we get into this? Tosas, now going back to Tosas on Yud Ches, when Tosas says, Laman amina mamigo b'makom edim hu. Right? Tosas going back to, you know, to Rav Meir in a way. Say, Rav Meir's right. And based on what? That's the Gemara they're quoting. Right? It is very striking that the Gemara calls it Trey. But it's not only striking that the Gemara calls it Trey. It's for the reasons that we discussed. Right? They're under attack. When you add the Tosas, and especially the Tosa Rush, right, it's even more powerful that it's being called Trey. Right? What is Tosas' answer? So, are they going to say Lav Dafka? It's not, you know, the shtar? Or are they going to give a different answer? V'yei Shlomar, Kivadit Tzrichu Chachamim Kiyum. Tosa says, in Achanami, from a certain point of view, it's Trey or Trey. Or from a certain point of view, it's me, it's Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitir, or Migu, you know, B'mokom Eden. However, there's another problem, and that is that Midrabanan, we need Kiyum Shtaros in order to move forward. That's the Dindrabanan. And do you have Kiyum Shtaros? Well, not exactly, because if you take the Peshas or Peshahit here, right, you know, the Resha is kind of neutralized, not contradicted, but neutralized by the Seifa. So that's not called Ksav Yad. That's not called that. So then, I guess, the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Rabbanon, according to this line in Tosis at least, is not whether or not there's a self-protective mechanism in the shtar, right? They basically are bound to agree to Rabbi Meir. That's the equivalent of Shnayim Eidim. The problem is, if you need Kiyum Shtaros, do you have Kiyum Shtaros when you have Peshas and Pesha Hitir, right? Even if it's Peshas and Pesha Hitir, Kineged Eidim. That's a question. Can you take their ratio despite their seifa, even if that isn't enough to torpedo the Edom on the other side? Okay? That's Tosis. Now, if you look at the next Tosis, you have a similar issue. I shouldn't really do this because it takes too long, but we have another minute. Oh, it looks like we don't have Marv, right? It sounds mean to say we're saving time with the Marv. Modu b'shtar shekasav ein tzarich l'kaimo. So Tosa says that's the hesber. That's the. Oh, you know what? I'm going to skip that. Let me do. The second one. Sorry, ein amanim. The second ein amanim. So what's ein amanim? That's if ksav yadim yotzi mimakom acher, right? Then even the rabbanon agree that ain't no money, because there's no Peshas and Pesha Hitir. So Tosa says, why wouldn't you? So good, there's no Peshas and Pesha Hitir. But Lahemne Bemigu di Bayomer Paruahu, Kibin de Mekuyam, right? In other words, we have a, you don't have Peshas and Pesha Hitir because of Xabiyan and Melty Mimakamaker, but Migu di Bay Omri Parua, they would be Neman to say that, assume, right? Nemanim lomar that the whole thing is invalid, right? So that would be migu. You have another migu instead of the pesha asar. Okay, it's a little weaker. So you have migu, but you see that migu works, you know, neged the shtar, right? Says Tosus, no. Kivin de Mekuyam who have a migu b'makom edim k'depirashna. Tosas draws on the previous Tosas, which draws on the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Beis, the daf ahead. It says, no, that would be migu b'makom edim also. So migu di boy amar parua neman lomar psulim hayu. Psulim hayu is against edos, right? But here he has v'od. The chozer b'magidim heim, that's also interesting. But kivin shigit shuvin chozer magid, that would be considered kivin shigit shuvin chozer magid. But odes shnei edim lo amrin amigu, you know, because people can't get their stories correct. So this one is not as firm. Okay. So let me give you one more, and then I'll leave the last one. I'll speak about a little bit more next time. Tosas suvas yud tes amud al. So when the Gemara said that, you know, for Ktanim, we have a Ruba Delesa Kaman. What's the Ruba Delesa Kaman? That Ein Ktanim Chosmim Al Hashtar. Correct? So that's a Chazaka. Or Ruba Delesa Kaman. So, it says Tosis, Hochem Ashma, the Lo Amrina Migo B'Mokom Chazaka. So what's the problem? You have a Peshasar, even stronger, Peshasar. Tosafot always calls it Migu. You have Peshasar, right? And you have, it's Bemokom Kazaka, right? So this is Rav Meir we're talking about. So what's the story about Amigo Bemokom Chazaka? So last year when we learned about Basra, we learned the first parak, right? The Gemara Daf Hey there has a suffix. What if you have a Migu Bemokom Chazaka? Let's say Migu di bay Amar Paraiti is ineman lomar. Let's say Migu di bay Amar Paraiti laachar zman hachiyuv. Is he nemon lomar paraiti toch zman achiyuv? Because the chazaka ain't a parea toch zmano. But if a person claims that he paid with no shtar, let's say a milval peh, he claimed at the right time or after the time, that we believe. So migdi bayamar paraiti lachar zman, would you say nemon lomar paraiti toch zman? That's migabam chazaka. The Gemara leaves us in a bayit lo yivshah. Says Tosis that. Here you have exactly the same situation. You have a migu, because you have a peshas and peshihitir, right? But it's b'makom chazaka. So how come Rabbi Meir says the chazaka wins out, and the rabbanon say that the migu wins out, and the Gemara Bava Basra says it's a bayit l'ifshita? So there are different answers to this question, but Tosa says rabbanon amrinon. So we have a question from Meir and rabbanon. Tosis doesn't answer. Tosis in other places and other Rishonim answer. Some of them say, listen, it's a stronger Migu or it's a stronger Kazaka. Like they all like an approach, you know, is to some of these discrepancies. Ein kol hachazaka shavos. You know, ain kol migu shava, which certainly is true. There's a hierarchy of migus, there's a hierarchy of chazakos, and so on. However, obviously, if you take the view of Reb Chaim, which is that Reish Lakish is really edus, and especially in light of what we were saying before, the language of the Gemara, the first Tosis, the second Tosis was waffling a little bit on it, namely, it's this is not migu b'mokom chazaka. This is Migu Keneged Eidim, or Migu B'makom Anansadir, Migu B'makom Eidim. But that depends on how you look at Reish Lakish. Now, again, the answer might be that even if Reb Chaim is correct, as we said before, it's still, there's still an element of Umdana, right? So you still have to figure out the, you know, the Rov part, you know, maybe, in order to trigger the Eidus part. Okay. So we're going to stop with this. The next toast is also very interesting about this, but maybe we'll. I just want to spend another 5 minutes just to speak about Amana and Tznai. I'm going to try to show you that there we show them take a different perspective, even you know within, even from the Rabbanan, they basically say the Rabbanan might agree with Rabbi Meir, and if the idea is that Rabbi Meir is like a machmir. In Reish Lakish, that's an interesting place to draw the line. So we'll try to finish with this Mirat Hashem next week. And,
for sure.
Yeah. Oh, maybe something on Shavuos also, if we can.